so much. Can we give the praise team a big God bless you? That's something that we do in our group up in the cities. Something that Taylor and I have always talked about is that every single one of us, whether you're up here or whether you're down there, we like to say that everyone's a part of the praise team. And because the natural part is that they're singing songs, but the spiritual part is that I believe that they're called by God to usher you and this church into the presence of God. And it's so easy to be like, you know, the worship team just wasn't doing great today. Like, he was off key, or the drummer messed up, or, you know, whatever it might be. But the reality is that that's part of your responsibility, is to usher you and the people around you into the presence of God. And so something that we as a group try to do is always honor and recognize this, because the enemy is attacking your praise team. That's the goal for the enemy. And so I want to always give honor to the people that are up there ministering to us, asking the Holy Spirit to come. I don't know if y'all have I'm going to totally just kind of sidestep here. Cool. Something just stood out to me quick. First off, thankful to be here. We love coming down here. Right now we are in a season of launching Risen Life Church. Y'all have played a huge role in that already. So quick update from, I believe we were here in July. Since July, I quit my job. One of you guys can say amen. My wife was like, amen, and I was like, I was full-time engineering the last time I was here. That was where God called me out of, and it was a fun transition, a scary transition. But now I am full-time church planting. It has been absolutely amazing so far, learning that my number one job is to pray and to learn how to be a shepherd and not be God. I was talking to Pastor Mike about that. And it's been an amazing transition for us, me and Marissa, my wife, as a family. And we're excited for us as a church. We're getting close to our launch date. So we're looking to launch Risen Life Church in the beginning of next year. And so we're really excited. While there's a launch date, the reality is that we're already doing it. I think that there's been a lot of refining in my mind and my heart about what church is and what church is not. But one of the things that's been on my heart is that I believe that God has called our group of passionate yet dysfunctional people to reach other dysfunctional people in Brooklyn Park and Brooklyn Center in the Twin Cities. Obviously, those two centers have been in an epicenter for racial conversations in the last year. And so it was God putting that space on our hearts. And then all of the stuff happened. And it was like, do we need to pray again? And the Lord was like, no, this is where I've called you. And so we're super excited about what God is doing. We're excited for you guys in helping us. One thing that we're doing in the next couple months, just to keep you guys updated, is we also have a ministry called Kingdom Builders. It's a ministry that we decided to start before we even started the church. And Kingdom Builders is essentially grounded around the idea that we exist as a church to build the kingdom of God. As a church plant, it's easy to be like, we need to build the church. And yes, that's true. But if you're just building the church, there's a bubble that you can get into of serving ourselves and building up our own kingdom. And so the idea is that as a church, before we even start being a church, let's look at how we can build the kingdom of God. And so Kingdom Builders is this ministry where we have a global Kingdom Builders and a local Kingdom Builders where we are just strictly just going out and trying to build the kingdom. And so how we're doing that this fall is we actually have a group of, I think, 5 or 6 individuals from our launch team that are going to Kaduna, Nigeria for the third time for our group. We've been there twice, but we have a church out there that we've partnered with. God is doing amazing work in that church. We've been there, a bunch of 6 or 7 white guys going into Nigeria. And this is the kicker, is we're not bringing God there. We're partnering with what the Holy Spirit is doing. And so we go there for, I think, 6 or 7 days. They're going to do a revival with the church, with the community in the area, with the youth. And so we're doing that this fall. And so we're just sending people about 2 months before we launch. And we're really excited for that because that's what we want our heartbeat to be, And so you could be praying for our group, for Taylor's. He goes, he's going to be leading all the worship stuff. I'm excited for that. So I wanted to give you guys an update on what's going on, but and I know y'all are just going to stop asking me, but you know, they ask me what I'm going to talk and teach on a couple weeks before, and then it always changes. And so I'm sorry, but you guys made it really easy for me because when I looked at the songs that we sang, I want to take just 25 minutes. Songs that you guys sang were Build Your Kingdom Here, Here As in Heaven, and then Call Upon the Lord, right? Did you have words? Okay, cool. I was like, did you just know all those words, or did you? Okay. That's Battle Belongs. I don't want that one yet. So what all of these songs said, though, and this is something I'm sure, have you guys heard those songs before? Just raise a hand, or heard it on the radio or on your phone or something like that. It's really easy when we start hearing those songs just to start singing them and just not think about what the words we were actually saying. And what I realized is when we were singing Build Your Kingdom Here, I started listening to the words, come set our hearts ablaze with hope like wildfire in our very souls. Holy Spirit, come invade us now. We are your church. We need your power in us. And I thought about that, and I was like, man, that's awesome. And then we went to the next song, and it was Here As in Heaven. And it was saying that the Spirit of the Lord is here. And then it said, overflow in this place. Fill our hearts with your love. Your love surrounds us. You're the reason we came to encounter your love. Your love surrounds us. So all of these songs, what they had in common when I was worshiping was they're all asking the presence of the Holy Spirit to be in this place, right? We're singing the songs, we're following along, and we're saying, Lord, would you please invade us with your presence, with your Spirit? And I asked the question today to myself in this season is, why do we want the presence of God in this room? And inventory check, that's what I say to our group. Take a second. Why are we asking the presence of God to be in this room? Why are we asking the presence of God to invade our hearts? There's a lot of answers for that. And one of the things that I think I've internalized in my life is that I want the Holy Spirit to invade me during a worship service so I feel better. That's just like legit. Like, man, I'm anxious. I'm stressed out. I'm worried about these things. Lord, Holy Spirit, would you just come, and I equate your presence to feeling peace, to feeling happier about where I'm at maybe, or to have more just sense of direction, right? That we have all of these different things. But what I asked Taylor when we started talking and dreaming about planting this church is, you know, we're always talking about, man, we want to get closer to God. You know, we want to worship, we want to pray, we want to do all these things. We want the Holy Spirit to be here. And the question we backed up on is why? To what end? And so when you guys started singing these songs, I started praying, and I was like, Lord, we're asking for your presence, but what's the purpose? When you're going through the rhythms of church every single week, COVID, like online, in person, families are doing all these things, kids are doing all these things, let's just get to church, let's just get there on time. It's easy to get in the rhythm and forget why we're actually doing this. And I believe the Holy Spirit has been speaking into my heart because he wants myself and all of us to refocus and to realign and to remember what the purpose of all of this was for, right? Because what I realize is that, yes, you know, I quit my job, full-time ministry, but what I've realized is that first and foremost, me, I am a disciple of Jesus. Same as you. No difference. Disciple of Jesus, that is my number one role that I need to live out in my life. That is the number one role that I'm going to have to answer to when I get to heaven. Number two is I'm a husband, right? I'm going to have to answer to that. I made a covenant with you, no one else. Me and you. And I've been told by people that are much wiser and older than me that it's easy to allow church to get in that number two spot. But I know that's my number two role. My number three role is now pastor. Those first two, though, come before being a pastor. And so something that I've really been praying about that I want to just talk about for a couple minutes now is take off the pastor role, take off the worship, whatever role, take off the administrator role, whatever it might be in the church. And I want all of us just to have a conversation around being a disciple of Jesus. Because your pastor is going to have to answer that same role that you're going to have to answer when you get to heaven. So scripture-wise, let's go quick to Acts chapter 1. Got a phone book. I'm sure they can throw it up on the screen, hopefully. But I'm putting them on the spot now. Acts 1 says this. Acts 1:1, beginning of the book. He says, in my former book, Theophilus, I wrote about all that Jesus began to do and teach until the day he was taken up to heaven, after giving instructions through the Holy Spirit to the apostles he had chosen. After his suffering, he presented himself to them and gave many convincing proofs that he was alive. He appeared to them over a period of 40 days and spoke about the kingdom of God. On one occasion, while he was eating with them, he gave them this command: do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised, which you have heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with, let's say it together, the Holy Spirit. Then they gather around him and they ask him, Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom to Israel? And he said to them, it is not for you to know the times or dates the Father has sent by his own authority, but you will receive, somebody say, power. Somebody else other than these three people right here. 1, 2, 3.
Power.
All right, that was a little better over here. You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. This is what connected me. The Lord just started confirming all of this. That's what we're asking for, right? How many people want the Holy Spirit to come on you with power? Okay, we got one. I can't see anyone else. So, seriously, how many of us want power from the Holy Spirit? Right? We think about power. We think about the power from the Holy Spirit is power over our flesh, right? It's the power for me over me trying to be God. It's the power over me in the world and how I interact with the world. It's power over loving my relationships, right? That I need, how many people know, you need Holy Ghost power to love your spouse. Thank you. I'm a year and a half in and I know that now. So if you're doing something I'm not doing, let me know. But I need power to love you the way that Christ wants me to love you. We need power, right? And we come into these worship services, every single song, you guys made it really easy on me. Every single song was about the presence of God. It was about the Holy Spirit. So we all want power, right? We want the presence of God. We sing about it. We talk about it. We pray for it. God, would you be in my household? Would you be in my life? Would you be in my heart? All these things. And yet Acts, what he says is he says that you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. And you will feel a lot better about your life. Did I have the wrong translation? Okay. I mean, I'll be honest, that's what I would want it to read. Right? Follower of Jesus first. You will receive power and you will never go through any suffering. Read the rest of the New Testament. You will receive power and your church will grow. That's a good one for me to think on. You will receive power and people will like you. You will receive power and you will get a spouse. You will receive power and you will have a great family. Because the Holy Spirit's job is to make our lives easier. What Acts taught me here, and this has been like my just wrestle, if I can just talk absolutely honestly here. Because when you plant a church, you have all of these, literally they call them benchmarks, right? But you have all of these ideas, you have these milestones, these objectives, these hopes, these dreams. Everyone's like, oh, is it going to work? Is it not going to work? If your numbers are growing, it's not, it is working. If it's not growing, it's not really working. Like, what are you doing wrong? Let's figure out the best model that just attracts people and perform for them, but without actually performing any spiritual work in them. And so I've wrestled with this a lot. But what this scripture taught me is that the Holy Spirit, yes, He is supposed to give you peace that surpasses all understanding. He is supposed to bless your relationships, right? That His presence helps me love you the way that I'm supposed to. His presence helps me love you all the way I'm supposed to. But in addition to that, the presence of the Holy Spirit, the power of the Holy Spirit, Jesus says, is so that then they, the apostles, us today, that we will be witnesses in Jerusalem, all of Judea, Samaria, and all the ends of the earth. So Jesus is sitting at the table, dinner with his best friends, right? He knows he's about to leave. And Jesus, they don't want Jesus to leave, but he's like, I have to go because I have to bring you the helper, the advocate, right? When I think of helper, I think of, yes, someone's going to help me with these crazy thoughts in my mind, which is true. An advocate, right? That yes, the Holy Spirit brings us, He advocates for us in the spirit realm, right? That through the Spirit of Jesus, even, we can come underneath the blood of Jesus and we have access to God and eternal salvation. That is real. That is the foundation of our relationship with God, is the blood of Jesus. In addition to that, though, the Holy Spirit was given to each of you when you accepted Jesus in your life so that you could be a witness. We don't think about that a lot. That your job as a follower of Jesus is to be a witness. Now, what is a witness? I remember when I was in high school, this was the narrative that I played out, is that I was that good Christian person, right? And I would go to all the parties and say, I'm going to be a light there. Not once did I ever talk about Jesus, but just like me not like getting hammered and all these things was like, you know, I'm being a light. Everyone else was like, yeah, you're being a light. But I, honestly, in my heart, it wasn't about being a light at all. Is your camera mobile at all? Can it move? Cool. I don't know how much it moved, but that's okay. You guys made this so easy on me. Your website, I went and looked at it. Awesome. And the reason why I did it is because I was like, okay, they built that website. When I go to the About Us, I'm going to start to hear the heartbeat for Mike and Amanda in this church. And what are they called to do? And what are they believing God is going to do? Your website, it talks about the Great Commission. And I love that because that's what we're really just like leaning into, is that your website says that the Great Commission, going out and being witnesses, that it is not optional, but it's a command. And being a witness, especially in this context, was not just going out to a party and being a nice person and being a light. Oh, I'm being a witness. Being a witness was talking about the good news of salvation through Jesus. And before I get to my, you know, for me, I start thinking, oh, Chris, how are you being a witness to people? Because real life church, right? You don't need to be as mobile, but I'll just point over there. You guys can all just turn on. Look at what's above the doors. Seriously, you guys can turn around. It'll be okay. I'll still be here. I promise. Or you maybe memorized it. Connecting Jesus to real life. I'm going to move. Sorry. I hope if I get feedback, I'll hide from those. I know enough about this. Okay. This is what I saw when I was sitting here. Are we good still? Sorry. Cool. If you're online, come in person. Your barrier as a church, same with us up in Brooklyn Center, is to get the Holy Spirit past these doors. Because what this tells me is I understand what it's speaking to. It's saying, how do we take what we're experiencing here out there? I don't know what the percentage is now, but your website said 82% of people in Waseca don't go to church on a given Sunday. It might be like, let's say it's dropped to 60. Praise God. Maybe not. No matter what that means, the reality, you guys, is this, and our numbers are very similar up in Brooklyn Center and Brooklyn Park, is that the church is struggling, and this has always been the struggle, to get what's in here out there. 82%. That's real. Now, again, I'm not going to be like, oh, 82%, if they don't go in church on Sunday, they don't love Jesus. No, I'm not going to like make those connections. Ballpark your estimates in your own head. But as a church, how do we take the presence of the Holy Spirit? That means that when I'm worshiping and I am asking for the power of the Holy Spirit to come on me, as a pastor, I shouldn't be asking the power of the Holy Spirit to come on me just for a half hour on Sunday so that I can perform for you guys. The power of the Holy Spirit should be for Tuesday. When I'm at the grocery store and the Lord puts someone in my path that I can not just say, hey, and open the door to, but actually witness the gospel. I have to seriously look inside of myself and say, Chris, when was the last time that you shared the gospel with somebody? Like, pastor, no, just follower of Jesus. And the thing that I talk to our group about is that, you know, I'm sure you guys have a connection system here, right? Connections process, like, hey, how do we get a first-time visitor, you know, maybe doesn't know the Lord, how do we get them and help them all the way to being a disciple of Jesus? That's awesome. We need that. I'm an engineer, thinking systems. Great. How do we bring people through that process, right? Can I say, though, is that the true connection system is you. It's not your next class. It's not your DNA class. It's not your disciple. Like, those are all tools. But the real tools in discipling people are disciples. And a lot of us are probably being like, okay, well, you're just this super loud person that yells a lot and walks around. And, you know, you probably are on the street corner with a bullhorn, you know, like, repent, stop sinning. Like, literally in my message, I put, where is it? Disciples, not bullhorn. That was just my witnessing is not about, now for some people, street evangelism is a real thing. That's awesome. Praise God. We have some people in our group that are passionate about that. That's not me. It's not. Like, for me, I naturally am bent towards the relationship route. All right, I call it the long game, right? What that means is that as disciples, a lot of you are probably like, I don't want to go on the street corner at whatever intersection you can think of here and start talking about Jesus. The reality is that you have a responsibility. The Great Commission, your website said it. I didn't say it. It's not optional. And the best part is that there are people that are out there, roughly 82%, that are either don't know Jesus, or they're not in a personal relationship with Jesus, or they're in a really difficult season right now in their relationship with Jesus. And God and the Holy Spirit has been given to Real Life Church in Waseca, Minnesota, so that you could go be witnesses. Each and every single one of us have this idea of what is church, right? Taylor and I always talk about that. It's like, man, it's so easy to say church, okay. Every church has a children's ministry, boom. Every church has Every church has this, boom. We have to do a youth thing. We have to do these outreach, like all these things that are not bad things. But what I felt the Lord speaking to me at least is that it's very easy for a church to become busy but not effective. And so I've been trying to like just strip back all the things in church and be like, what was the core? The core was making disciples. And what my heart started feeling this morning is that I am praying that the Lord would start to put this internalization in each of your hearts, that you have been given the power of the Holy Spirit more than just a good feeling, more than just a blessed family, because all that is real. But God's primary agenda is not to make my life easier. God's primary agenda for my life is for me to advance the kingdom of God. A lot of people are like, oh no, he is a loving God. But he does not serve us. We serve him. That means that everything that he gives me, it's grace. Like me worshiping on Sunday morning does not require him to bless my marriage. I'm thankful to God that he does, even when I'm not worshiping. But what I started praying about is that my prayer for this church, my prayer for our church is that you would begin to pray about one person. One. Jesus did it with 12. You guys have way more than 12 here right now. Right? 12 people went out and just spoke about Jesus. I never saw, and I didn't read this in the New Testament, you may have, I never read Jesus encountering someone and being like, hey, let's go to the synagogue and let me talk to you about this. Right? It was always on the way somewhere. It was always on the road. It was always in different places. And so what I believe is that what the Holy Spirit is calling the church to do in this season, right? We're coming out of this crazy COVID, you know, roller coaster. I know we're kind of maybe half step going back into it, whatever it might be. There's all this shaking happening right now. Personally, naturally, schools, like economy, all of those things. And there's also a shaking happening in the spirit realm where I believe God is calling the Big C Church, that means here, that means in Brooklyn Center, that means in Kaduna, Nigeria, that there is a refocusing that needs to happen on what is the purpose of the church. The Holy Spirit gives us power to witness to people. And witnessing is discipleship. It's not necessarily a bullhorn. I did this math on the way here. I was talking to Bob about the engineer just never gets out of you. You can try. So here's a thought that I had. Discipleship, right? Discipleship is about relationships. The best part is no matter what stage you are in your life, there is someone that you can be in a relationship with. There is someone that you can disciple, someone that you can say, Lord, I need relationships that pour into me, but I want to be used to help disciple someone closer to Christ. And that's not just Pastor Mike and Amanda's job. And this is the part that's really difficult, is that we get in the mindset of witnessing means, hey, come to church on Sunday. Because what happens subconsciously is that I bring someone to church, they sit down, a greeter better say hi to them so they feel welcomed, and then Pastor Mike or Chris or whoever's up here better not say anything too, like, against what they believe, or they better be engaging, they better not, like, make them bored. We better get out on time. We should have coffee. We should. Now the responsibility is all on other people. Like, oh, I really hope the next table's open. If we walk past someone, better say hi to them. Oh my gosh, nobody said hi to them. And it's like, I did my part. I brought them to church one Sunday. And we have to look at Scripture and say, what was discipleship in Scripture? So as a follower of Jesus, I truly believe with all my heart, and I have 2 minutes and 53 seconds. We merge the two services. They can just come in and we can. As followers of Jesus, I have a responsibility to submit to the authority of Scripture. That means even if I don't like it, when I see what Jesus did with his disciples, right? I'll say roughly what? Jesus' ministry was 3 years, give or take whatever, 3 years. Let's say back in the day, because they slept more, let's say they slept 12 hours a day. Right? Some people are like, amen. Say they slept 12 hours a day. Let's say Jesus was with his disciples 10 hours a day. That's generous. Let's say he was with them 6 days a week. Let's say they had an off day. I don't know. Again, generous. 10 hours a day, 6 days a week for 3 years. Jesus spent roughly 9,360 hours with his disciples. Discipling. For us, let's say I can invest 4 hours a week in discipling somebody. If I was going to equate the same amount of time that Jesus put in, it would take me 45 years. Now, unless I think I can disciple more efficiently than Jesus, look at the commitment. And a lot of us would be like, okay, 4 hours a week. I'll be honest with you. We had this conversation. I was like, I don't think my life, I can't do that. Like 4 hours a week. And I don't. We have a cat. We don't have kids. Again, special anointing, Amanda, as I was talking about. But we were like, our lives don't allow for that. And I started to ask the question. I said, is that a problem? Is that a problem that we are moving so fast and our lives are so busy? Because of the American culture, not because we have to, that I can't disciple someone. And so what I'm praying for is I'm saying, Lord, I need, not as a pastor, follower of Jesus, one person that I'm discipling. That doesn't mean I'm telling them how it all works, and you need to know the Bible and answer the problem of evil and, you know, the existence of the Creator and the fine-tuned theory, all of that stuff. You don't need to know that. Walk with them. Just walk with them. Like, if you invite them to church, hang out with them outside of church and talk about Jesus and pray and ask the Lord, God, how can I just talk to somebody and help them in their next step? The church was given the Holy Spirit, yes, for healing, deliverance, transformation, but also to be a witness. My prayer is, what would start to happen in Waseca, Minnesota, if each person over the next year discipled one person to Christ? And then what would happen? You guys can do the math. I won't do the math for you. If one person in your church, every single person, discipled one person in 1 year, and then they assisted them in discipling one more person. Law of exponential growth. Now we start getting not just a building, but we're going out. We're connecting Jesus to This is my heart for you guys, and I'll be honest, this is what we're doing right now. We're really having the conversation of, like, how do we connect Jesus to real life? Holy Spirit, transformation, worship. This should be a recharging time. You know, like how you recharge your iPhone at night? Why do you do that? You recharge it so that during the day when you want to use it and what you bought it for, that it does what you want it to do during the day. So you recharge it at night, right? What we do when we come together, when you guys gather on Sunday morning, you are recharging your spirit, realigning you with God, so that then you can go out and the church can do what it was bought by Jesus to do. Imagine if you live with someone that just charges their phone all the time and never turned it on. Maddening. God's grace is so good on us. Because that's what I do a lot, right? Charge my phone. Don't bring Jesus out to real life. Come back. It's already full. Didn't use it. Or vice versa. People are saying, no, I can just follow Jesus, but I don't need a community to connect with. And now their phones are running on. So for me, what my prayer is for this church, for our church, that we would do this together. You guys do it here in Waseca. We'll do it in Brooklyn Center. We'll meet in the middle. Farm country. Let's go out and let's just witness. It's not in one day. It's not a bullhorn. Discipleship, just friendship. Pray about one person. And if you're like, I have no idea what to do next. He's like, ah. He's going to walk with you because he's learning it too. And if not, just call me. I will drive down here and meet with you. Test me. Let me just pray quick. Holy Spirit, as we go, God, I pray that you would just speak to our hearts, God. I know that it can be challenging and scary, and it can even be easy just to say, no, I like just coming here. And God, but what I want to do is I want us to transition from Jesus being our Savior to Jesus being our Lord. That means, God, that I serve you, that your Holy Spirit is here so that I can be a witness, God. The anointing of the Holy Spirit is not just for me to feel better in the moment or see my relationships get better, God. That is true. That is a part of his purpose. But God, it's also so that when I speak to someone, that your Spirit would speak into their hearts, God, because it's only your Spirit and your Word that transform hearts. It's not us. So God, I pray for boldness. I pray for courage for each person here. God, put that one person in their hearts, God. And God, when we try to just forget about it, nag us, Lord. Put that person back in our hearts and let us just start walking with them, God. It doesn't need to be the bullhorn. Just let it be a relationship, Father. God, I thank you for this church family. I thank you for these people that are willing to partner in the kingdom of God with us. God, we trust you. We love you. In your name we pray, Lord. Amen.